What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast. My name is Matt Hensley. I'm the pastor of Plymouth Park Baptist Church, and I'm joined by Kyle, non-alcoholic beerman, the something or other with the North American Mission Board replant team. And have you recovered yet from y'all's big event, like your Super Bowl?
I guess that was my Super Bowl for the year. Yeah, that was my biggest event. Yeah, for the most part, I'm really enjoying my sleep after. I think I was out 4 nights, which means it probably takes about 7 to recover from that. Yeah. From sleeping in hotel beds for 4 nights.
I don't know about you, but it's like those big things, you know, like obviously Easter, Christmas, you know, anything that just has a whole lot of planning, a whole lot of strategizing and follow up, all of that kind of stuff, like the big stuff like that. I know y'all have the replant summit that would probably be, I guess, Mark Clifton Super Bowl, that kind of a thing. Man, we're in baseball season. Why am I saying Super Bowl? I didn't even watch it this year. The World Series, but yeah. You know, there's only one game. Anyway, okay, forget all of that. I just know that it's like the immediate relief of it being over into success or whatever else quickly transitions, usually by the time I wake up the next morning with sheer exhaustion, like I was just hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Is that you? How long does it take you to get back to complete and total normal, as normal as Kyle could be?
So this event is a little bit longer. I think just because I'd put so much time and energy and stress into it, that now that it's over, I'm like relaxing. And so we're about almost a week out, and I feel like I'm finally recovered from it, right? So I got back late Saturday night, left last Tuesday, got back late Saturday night. We're recording this on Wednesday, and so I finally feel like, okay, which is fun because I've got a flight to Houston this weekend for another event. That's not nearly as big, not nearly as much stress and stuff involved in that because, you know, if it falls apart, it's not on me.
Well, you know, pastors only work one day a week. And so we have days to unwind and get ready for the next one. You only work that one event. And so you have
one weekend a year.
Days to recover and everything else. Well, Kyle, if I look at the calendar correctly, and also remember to turn off my notifications real quick, if I look at my calendar correctly, Easter is literally right around the corner, which also means we're in the throes of the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. And one of my favorite things that NAM shares each and every year is not the swag that we get to the Southern Baptist Convention. That is really good. That's usually really good. I'm not going to lie. It's also that calendar. And that calendar that sits on my desk every week to give me a chaplain, a church planner, whatever it may be that I can pray for. And I'm grateful for that. But Kyle, I started thinking about, you know, getting it a little bit closer to home. And so what are maybe some ways that pastors of perhaps established churches, and I would also say pastors of church plants on the flip side of this too, how can they really partner together in their local expressions, you know, their local association, their city, whatever it may be, and really partner together? And what gave me this idea is something we have started over the past few weeks at Plymouth Park Baptist Church. Is every week we are praying for something in our community or for our community, our city, whatever. And so every couple of weeks, that is a school or a civic leader like the mayor, something like that. And then on the other days, it's area church plants and other churches and that kind of a thing. And so obviously the first way to really serve fellow pastors and other churches, and particularly church planters, is through prayer. Kyle, why and maybe how and what does that really mean for the church planter?
Well, yeah. So for the church planter, that would let him know that he's not alone, right? That he has folks that are joining him in prayer, that are lifting him up as he is trying to start something brand new, right? And it would also let him know, and this is important for established churches and for church plants, to know that the area churches don't see him as a threat or as competition, but as a partner in ministry to reach that community, city, state, whatever level that is, right? But to know that folks are coming alongside to encourage and to pray for him, not to undermine the work that the church plant is trying to do.
Yeah. Another kind of simple thing that you can do, Pastor, is reach out to your typical church may have like an inner church newsletter that's not necessarily outward focused. So that may not always be easy unless you know that they exist. But if you know of a church plant that's maybe getting started, they undoubtedly have a very outwardly focused newsletters. They're trying to share, you know, prayer needs and successes and praises and all of those kinds of things with their supporters and those around them and all of that. I would recommend reaching out to a church planter, giving him your email address and getting on his newsletter list. Yeah. And so when you do see a praise or prayer request, whatever it may be, as you do pray for, you know, so-and-so Baptist church or so-and-so community church or whatever new church is in your area, where you can lift up something specific that they are looking for a place to meet, or they have recently baptized their first believer, or whatever it might be, where really shows that you care and you're taking some time to really make note of their actual needs and wins and everything else. Yeah. And that kind of leads to maybe the second thing you can do is ask good questions. And so in order to do that, you need to actually know who your, you know, church planters in the area are. And one way to do that is to plug into your state convention in your local association and find out who they are and just, for crying out loud, talk to them. And when you do, ask some questions. What's going on? Get beyond the whole, what are you running? How many are you baptizing? All of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And really dig into what's going on, because you can really find out their deeper needs to, one, help you pray, but also help you partner together. How does that help, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you said, it helps you to know how to pray, right? It helps you know the needs that you can partner with. But here's the other thing. Most church planters that I know are really excited about their work. They're excited about what God is doing. They're excited about the folks that they've seen come to know the Lord. And here's the thing. That can spark some excitement in your own ministry in life and church, right? And so, again, you're not in competition. You're in partnership with one another. And as one church begins to see growth and excitement, that can be contagious into other churches.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing, Kyle, I don't know about you, but my favorite thing to get in the mail is a bill. You know, if not, maybe right after that would just be the unsolicited, you know, mail that I receive from, I don't know.
Oh, just wait. Yeah, because political ads are coming.
Yeah, political, right? Political ads. Oh, that's really above the bills, man. Political ads, nothing brings a smile to my face like a political ad.
Yep.
But no, we all go to the mailbox, and rarely do we get that little spark of joy of just a handwritten note, thank you note, card, greeting card, whatever it may be. And so if you know a pastor around you, and maybe you know their birthday, that's even better, but send them a birthday card, that kind of stuff. But there's something about just a handwritten letter or even a letter that you've signed and typed up, whatever it may be, but just sending a personal letter and a greeting to a pastor in the area, church planner in the area, whatever it may be. And so write a note, type up a note, have your staff sign it. You know, if in staff meeting you get together with your team and y'all pray for, you know, so-and-so Baptist church, send them a note to tell them, like, hey, we prayed for you and hope all is going well. We'd love to connect, whatever it might be. And but if you do remember their birthday or some kind of a special event, their launch, whatever it is, send them a note, because I think everybody likes to get something like that, because there are the dog days of ministry. And sometimes a note from a fellow believer or a fellow brother in Christ or pastor is something that will keep you going in those difficult days. Kyle, what's your favorite letter to receive?
My favorite letter to receive
is your pay stub.
Yeah. That all comes electronically now, right? Okay. I mean, do direct deposit and stuff like that. So, you don't get paychecks in the mail anymore. I tell you what, my favorite thing to receive in the mail is books. When somebody sends me a free book that either they've written and they want me to take a look at it or something like that. That's my favorite thing. And usually there's a note attached to that.
What Kyle is asking you to do is to go to Amazon.com and search for Jonah Over Coffee and send it to 128 whatever Lubbock, Texas. I don't even know what your address is. I don't know what your new address is, by the way. Here's another thing.
Oh, no.
You probably should send that to me. That'd be a good idea. Maybe that's why I'm not sending you anything.
When you come to Lubbock, I will give you my address. How about that? I don't have your new address either, for the record.
The last thing I sent you was the Nolan Ryan, Robin Ventura picture.
Oh, yeah, which I have. Let's see, where is it? It's up on that shelf right over there.
Yeah, I can't see it, so I'll just take your word for it. You could totally be lying to me. Here's the other thing is, as a pastor of a church, you're probably not going to be able to go and necessarily visit that church, unless you're off or something like that. It's usually going to be difficult unless they're at a different time than you meet. That's a little different. But one of the things you can do is say, hey, what if we've got a few people at our church that would love to help y'all with your next outreach event or block party or something like that, and just reach out like, hey, I want to let you know we've got 6, 7, 8 folks that would love to come and be a part of this next thing and just help you guys succeed. And whatever it is that it is, you know, the block party, the, you know, down in the park where they're sharing the gospel, whatever it might be, and just be a few extra foot soldiers for them, if you will, because they may not have a whole lot of folks. And a few folks that have been trained to share the gospel or whatever it might be that is celebrating what's happening there would probably be a godsend to that guy. How have you seen that maybe work in your area or through the replant stuff?
Yeah. So I mean, one thing I did when I was a youth minister is we went over and we would help. We took our youth ministry over to a little bitty church about 45 minutes away, and we put on a like 3-night VBS for them because they just didn't have the folks to do it. And here's the thing. We had the kids, we had all the material that we'd already used. And so it was relatively easy for us to go do it, but that gave that church a connection in its community. And look, partnering together through something like a vacation Bible school, like you mentioned, like a block party, those are really easy ways. Well, I don't want to overstep that. Vacation Bible school is not necessarily easy, but they're very, very simple ways to partner together to make a big impact. And so, again, that's going to require you asking good questions, building a relationship, and then being willing to partner together.
Yeah. Finally, unless your church planter friend is a clone of Dr. Bart Barber, the great Dumbledore himself, he might like coffee.
Mm, yep.
And you can always send a note like, hey, let's get together and have a cup of coffee and just hear what's going on. Like invite that church planter into your life, your rhythms, or get into his rhythm and his life and spend some quality time together, praying together, getting together, having a bite to eat, having a cup of coffee, whatever it might be, going golfing, maybe not if you're Matt Hensley.
Disc golf. The chances that you're going to kill someone while you're playing disc golf are dramatically smaller than real golf.
True. Maybe pickleball.
Not zero. Pickleball, hey, there yet? You go. Pickleball. Yeah.
Have you done pickleball yet?
No. So we're taking a cruise and Haley and I have pickleball lessons booked on the cruise. So that's going to be fun. How about that?
Oh man. Great. I'm happy for you, Kyle. I'm never getting on a boat ever in my life. Kyle, any other final notes that you can think of just your regular pastor blessing a planter?
Yeah. So, you know, you might look around your community through your association and you're like, we don't have any church plants. And so you just take that next step up, right? Go to your state convention. And more than likely, there's probably one that's somewhat close to your area. If there's not, you can find out more about church planters through the, NAM has a free prayer calendar. Open Windows magazine always publishes birthdays of, missionaries. And so there are ways to connect, right? And so even if you're having to connect out of state, here's a cool thing that would give you a really good way for your church to kind of open their eyes up to what God is doing outside of just your community. But start small. Start local association, then state convention, and see if you can get connected with a planter very close by that you could actually interact with, preferably in person on a regular basis. That makes a big difference.
Yeah. Hey, we're in this thing together. And all of these things are translatable from pastor to pastor, planter to planter, pastor to planter to pastor, member to pastor, and everything else, and pastor to member. Ultimately, ministry, church, and all of that moves not just at the speed of leadership, but the speed of relationships. And sometimes we know we can do more together. That's far beyond just sending the check from our church through the cooperation I just lost my train of thought. Cooperative program. I'm on the cooperation group. But the cooperative program, it's more than just sending your check through there. It's also the relationships that you forge with missionaries and church planters and fellow pastors. And so, hey, get out of, in our case, 1714 North Story Road. Get outside of there and get your eyes onto some of the other churches in the area, especially church planters, because they really are on the front lines of this and doing some incredible gospel work. And I'm always encouraged when I see the infographics of the churches that are being planted over, like the span of 10 years, whatever it may be, in an area. And so big proud of Dr. Ezell, big proud of NAM, big fan of that, and the work that you're doing through the replanting and bringing churches that are dying or in the process of kind of back to life again. And both of those are needed. And we are grateful for our listeners and that for whatever reason, take time out of their Friday or any other day to listen to us talk, in this case, about helping our fellow church planters and pastors in our area. So have a wonderful day. And hey, as you get ready for Easter Sunday, give them Jesus. Until then, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as the gospel we declare.
What's wrong with you people?